Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. Psalm 145, 17. Psalm 711. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. Psalm 711. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. Psalm 711. Psalm 119 verse 142. Your righteousness is everlasting righteous and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. Psalm 119:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. Psalm 19:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Many wonderful blessings come our way every single day of our lives. We realize that we are the recipients of God's grace in salvation, experiential grace, which means we have the grace by which to live each day. We have the assurance that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have ultimate grace, which simply means that one of these days, God will take us to our eternal home. To be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. We realize that we're only one breath away from that eternal home. We're only one heartbeat away from that eternal home. Most of us are aware of that. Many people are not aware of that. It is sad indeed that people are not considering their eternal destination. Salvation is a gift from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. How magnificent that is. In our study through the Word of God, we come today to a magnificent subject. The subject of righteousness. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that when we gave attention to the subject of sovereignty, we realized that there was more there than we could present in one session. And so we had sovereignty number one, sovereignty number two, and sovereignty number three. Well, that spurred me on when I got to thinking about the subject of righteousness, realizing that it would be impossible to present information on that subject properly in one session. And so you can see that in the bulletin today, we have sovereignty number one and sovereignty number two. We are going to involve ourselves today in some of the most magnificent verses of Scripture that you've ever had your eyes to look upon. And so we're looking, first of all, at Romans 3, 22. We pray together before we study. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize how important it is for us to be here today. We realize that life is so precious, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful that you've given us opportunity to turn our attention away from the distractions of this world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths.
These are magnificent truths for us today. We pray that we will have a desire to receive spiritual fuel, that we'll metabolize that spiritual fuel and we'll make use of it, utilize it on a day-by-day basis. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, please, I would like for you to look now at Romans chapter 3, verse 22. I think we have it in the bulletin. Let's check to be sure. Yes, we have it in the bulletin today. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all the ones believing, for there is no difference." I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to spend some time with me on this verse. I have it on the screen for you to see. You have it there in your bulletin. We are aware of the fact that in past days we've looked many times at the word righteousness from the original language. The Greek word is dikaiosune. You see it right here. You see it in the paper before you. Even the righteousness of God. And here's the proper noun, theou. Notice, if you will, please, and we'll come back to that word even in a few moments. I need a point here instead of there. I want you to see that the word even is used, and we ask the question why that word is there translated from this word day. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Please notice, if you will, that we have a preposition here, and it is a little word dia, D-I-A. We could put on the screen now the diagram with all the prepositions, but we'll not do that. This is the one that, if you look at that diagram, you'll see that it is a line going all the way through, symbolic of the fact that the word dia, preposition, means through. Translated here, by which? Through faith. And the word is pistos, P-I-S-T-E-O-S. We'll not spend time here, even though we've done it many, many times before. The word pistos is the word faith. The word pisteuo or pisteo is the word believe. And many times we've said that the word pistos or pistos is the word faith. But when you make it go from a noun to a verb, it's pisteo, which means I believe, I faith it. Then we have the word Jesus Christu, Jesus Christ. We have no difficulty with this, but let's continue. Unto all the ones believing. Stop on that word and you can see it. P-I-S-T-E-U-O. I've been explaining that. Now you're able to see it. We have an emphasis here upon a word which means at a point of time, people believe and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and it emphasizes the fact that people are in the process of believing with this participle, present tense. Active voice, participle, we'll not go into all that. Then we have a magnificent verb, and we have the verb which means believing, and then we have, for there's no difference. Here's a post-positive conjunctive particle gar. Here's a strong negative adverb. Here's our verb. There is no difference. Now, if you will, please, look at that verse in your Bible before you. In my study in past days, I was trying to see exactly how this word is to be presented to us. I found the Berean Study Bible, and I thought it was very interesting the way these verses are presented. Verse 20, well, I'll skip on down to verse 22 and then go back to 20. "And this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no distinction." There's no difference. The emphasis is that when you look at the Old Testament, you'll find an emphasis upon the age of Israel and the Jews. When you get into the New Testament and see the ministry of the Apostle Paul, you have an emphasis upon the grace of God in the church age. This is saying that salvation is designed for each group. The Jews on the one hand, the Gentiles on the other hand, there is no difference. Now if you'll look in your Bibles to Romans 3:20. I think I have this ready for you on the screen. It says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Notice, if you will, please, that it is emphasizing here that salvation doesn't come by efforts of mankind. Because by works of the law, here's a strong negative adverb again, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now notice, please, the rest of the verse. For through the law is fulfilled the knowledge of sin. The last words that you see on this diagram is nomos, which is the word law in the genitive case. We have the word epinosis. Most of us are familiar with that. And then we have the word harmatios, which is the word sin. Now you can see that I get carried away with this and would like to spend a lot of time, but I'm trying to let you see how fantastic this is. Now I want to take you to verse 21. But now, without law, a righteousness of God has been manifested. I don't know what I really want to ask you to highlight these verses in your Bible, if you don't mind marking in your Bible. Underline it, highlight it, and take a real close look at it with me now and then later. But now, without the law, dikaiosune again, righteousness of God, has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. If you'll look at this word manifested, you will discover that it is the Greek word phaneroo. But what I want you to see is how the word is used. Perfect, passive, indicative. Manifested in the past. Consummated in the past. Result of that consummation continues to this very present moment. That's the word, that's the way you translate manifested here. Passive voice, subject receives the action. Indicative mood, the mood of reality. Phaneroo, being witnessed. Present, passive, participle. Now let me read again. The Berean Study Bible, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be justified in his sight by works of the law. For the law merely brings awareness of sin. You've got to stay with it. You've got to think. Sometimes we hear things and we don't think. We've got to think about this for it to really make sense. Therefore, no one will be justified in God's sight by works of the law. For the law merely brings epinosis, awareness of sin. You see that? Now look at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed as attested by the law and attested by the prophets. Verse 22. And this righteousness from God comes through faith of Jesus Christ to all who believe. Oh my. Oh my. Are you seeing it? This righteousness. The subject is righteousness. The second session, the subject is righteousness. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. I could not make that plainer. The scripture is very plain. There's no distinction. Now look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The subject today is righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means that we're unrighteous, we're depraved, we're sinful, and without Jesus Christ, we're lost. And we are in need of something that will drastically change us and move us to be what we don't want to be in the past and want to be in the future. We are the recipients of God's righteousness at the point of being born again. So the subject is righteousness. The second thing that I say to you, and we all know this, God is righteous. When you look at the members of the Godhead, you will discover that deity 1, 2, and 3 have all the same attributes and characteristics which are presented to you in your bulletin today. We have an insert there that presents these characteristics. We presented this in the past, so we'll not read it to you now, but I trust that you will read it when you get home today. Deity 1, the Father. Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ who became the existent Christ. And Deity 3, the Holy Spirit. All three of these have the same attributes and the same characteristics. And we've studied sovereignty. Now we're studying righteousness. If you go to the tabernacle, if you go to the Old Testament, and make your way through and into the Ark of the Covenant, you will find cherubims. And you will see that one of them represents righteousness and the other represents justice. On Wednesday night, we'll deal with the subject justice. Now, righteousness. God is righteous. Man is unrighteous. God is pure and clean in every possible way, and all the members of the Godhead, and we are ungodly, unholy, sinful individuals. A holy, righteous God cannot get with an unrighteous group of people called us, mankind, because righteousness cannot mix with unrighteousness. So there has to come a change in mankind. And the pre-existent Christ, in essence, was saying to the Father, there has to be someone go and pay the price for redemption that has to be pure and clean and perfect in every way. And the pre-existent Christ said to the Father, and I'm putting this in modern terminology, to the Father, Father, I will go and be that one to die for the sins of the world. So the pre-existent Christ became the existent Christ, God in the flesh, willing to go to the cross and die for your sins and mine. Some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago, you realized that you needed Jesus Christ. And when you accepted Him, He accepted you. And God worked the miracle of regeneration, which means righteousness, came into you and me. That is called imputed righteousness. God has told us that righteousness is available. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price, sin was paid for, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, all of us now have access to the throne of God. Righteousness is available. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, righteousness was imputed. The question that I have for you right now is, what does the word impute mean? I'm going to put it on the screen for you. The definition of imputation is, it means to credit something to someone. The Greek word for imputation is logizomai. It's not all that important for you to know that, other than for you to know that I know how great that word is. The Greek word is imputation, logizomai. It's used more than 40 times in the New Testament. It's used over and over again in the book of Romans, chapter 4. That's the reason why Romans chapter 4 is called the imputation chapter. Let's take a few moments and think about this. When you look at Romans 4, 3, and 5, the word is translated counted in your New Testament. When you go to Romans 4, 4, and 10, the word is translated reckoned. When you go to Romans 4, 6, 8, 11, 22, 23, and 24, the word is translated imputed. Now, I'm giving you time to put that down because it's important that you put it down. Some of you sit there with a smile on your face, and I appreciate that. I take it that you're just listening carefully and enjoying it immensely, but you're not really taking it down. I'm looking at you. You're not taking it down. What I'm trying to say is, and I'm not being ugly, when you go to Romans chapter 4, we find that that's the imputation chapter, along with many verses in other places. Thank you. You're beginning to take the notes down. Romans 4, 3, and 5, the word is translated counted. When you go to Romans 4, 4, and 10, it's translated reckoned. But look at these verses now. 4, 6, 8, 11, 22, 23, 24, it's translated imputed. Now, let me stop you for a minute. Let's go back a little bit. A few moments ago, I said, some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago, you realize your need for salvation. You didn't realize all the details. You didn't understand that you were body and soul and not body, soul, and spirit. You didn't understand all that. But you realize you needed something from outside of yourself to change you. And you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What you may not realize is God worked a miracle in your life at that point. And God changed you from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit, which meant that at that point God gave you the means by which you could appreciate, love, and enjoy the things in the realm of the spiritual. You didn't have that before. Unsaved people don't have that because they're only body and soul, not body, soul, and spirit. And some of you are saying to me right now, even it's not out loud, "Preacher, I've heard you say that 1,000 times. Yes, this is 1,002 now. I just said it 1,001. Please understand what happened to you when God worked the miracle of transformation in your life. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't think about it. They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. They don't appreciate it. What happened to you at that moment of time was God's righteousness was imputed, placed in to you. That's the reason why we have Romans 3:22. that has a little word beginning here, even the righteousness of God. You won't see this unless you study it from the original language and see what it is saying. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all of those who believe. I'm trying to tell you how great righteousness is. God's righteousness and man's sinfulness are very far apart. How they're brought together, God does it. I need to tell you that imputation involves both that which is imputed and the object of imputation. Let's think about that for a few moments. If you're looking at this, it involves both that which is imputed and the object of imputation, which simply means God is the one who does the imputation. We are the ones being the recipient. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? All right. First, we must understand that God does not condescend, nor does He compromise. We're talking about how great God is, how righteous God is. And you must see, first of all, that God does not condescend nor compromise. The conjunction, that little word at the first of this verse, even, is in contrast to what was revealed and is now realized through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the same righteousness of God, but is now specific in appropriation through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me stop you for a moment. I think you're thinking with me. Let me stop you for a moment. If a person says, when you ask, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And they say, I believe. Then you need to ask, what is it that you believe? If a person just simply says, I believe, that says a lot of things. I believe. The scripture says that there has to be a subject and there has to be an object. There has to be a subject and there has to be an object. This word even here emphasizes the appropriation. If I believe God, that's one thing. But if I believe and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's appropriation. I'm trying to present righteousness in such a way that we can really understand it. The Apostle Paul has already offered the idea of faith, but has been general up to this point in his presentation and argument. We're in Romans chapter 3. He talked about faith, but did not give faith a specific object. Now, he does. Please take your Bible and let's look at it. Verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge, epinosis, of sin. Verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. 22, this is our verse. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there's no distinction. You'd say, preacher, what are you doing to us today? I'm trying to take it slowly so you can see how great righteousness is. Romans 3:22 again. even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. For there's no distinction. We've already said this, I repeat now. God's righteousness and man's sinfulness are far apart. How are they brought together? God is always the source of the Scripture. I need to tell you that there are many types of presentations in the Word of God about what God does for us. I'm looking at my notes and I'm able to see that I want to only give part of this. And that's the reason why I'm having a little bit of adjustment here. I want you to see that in the presentation of God's dealing with mankind, there are a number of different, what we classify as imputations. But some of those imputations are what we classify, and I'll just talk off the cuff here for a few moments to let you see. Some of those imputations are what we call real imputations. A real imputation is where there is something to be presented and there is something there to receive that which is to be presented. That is known as a real imputation. But what I want to emphasize today is what is classified as judicial imputations. The word judicial emphasizes the judgment, judge. Judicial imputation emphasizes the fact that there is something to be imputed, but there's no place for the reception of that imputation. Now, if you're hearing me carefully, I want you to see it, please. When you have a real imputation, there is something to be imputed, but there's no receptacle for that imputation. In your life and mine, there is no receptacle for this imputation. So it has to be a judicial imputation. There has to be a change down here so that there can then be the placing of that divine imputation into that receptacle. Does that make sense? All right, let's skip that for a moment and go over here. Here's God. And here's Jesus Christ, who came to the earth to die for the sins of the world. But in Jesus Christ, there is no receptacle for the implantation of man's sin. So that's the reason why Jesus Christ had to be judged for our sins. No receptacle, no place. You know why? Because when God brought about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ became the God-man, he was not a sinner. He had no receptacle for sin. Virgin conception, virgin birth, no sin. So he was pure, sinless. He's the only one qualified then to die for the sins of the world. We're going to get into this in detail in the next session, but I want you to see that in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, in Christ, he took upon himself, he who knew no sin, our sin. We're going to look at that in detail in the next session. What I'm trying to do here is to just tell you that there had to be a judicial imputation. Jesus Christ became the judicial one in giving himself and becoming the person willing to accept and the opportunity and privilege and obligation to die for the sins of mankind. Am I saying this where you can really see it? Jesus Christ was judged for our sins. Wow, when I think about this, I'm aware of the fact he didn't deserve that. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. When I see Jesus Christ, the God-man, pure, sinless, impeccable, on this earth as the God-man. Judicially judged. He was judged for your sins and my sins and all the sins of the world. Over on this side, we don't have a receptacle for the imputation of God's righteousness. But upon our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle of regeneration, a receptacle was set up in your life and mine that made us be from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. And there comes the imputation of God's righteousness. I don't know what this does to you, but the more I think about it, the more fantastic it becomes in my own thinking. When I realize that Jesus said, I in you, and you in me, we have salvation. Jesus Christ has come to set up his abode in our lives. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We should treat the body properly. But the body is that which is going to pass away one of these days. And then we'll be the recipient of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. In other words, what I'm saying today is righteousness. God is righteous. Righteousness is available. Righteousness is imputed to those who believe. You have believed. And you should be extremely grateful today that you're the recipient of God's righteousness. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to make available to us this magnificent gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness. We're thankful indeed today that we're privileged to be on this earth. You've allowed us to be alive on this particular morning. And we realize that because we're alive, you still have a purpose and a reason for our being here. And so help us to understand how important all this is. Help us to begin to see even more clearly what you have done for us and what you're doing for us and what you will do for us in the future. And help us also to see that what you're going to do for us in the future while we're still on this earth is determined so much by what decisions we're going to be willing to make in receiving the mind of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Time on the earth for all of us, at the longest, is very brief. So help us to major on the major aspects of life and minor on the minor aspects of life. May we keep our priorities straight. May we understand that every day we live, you're the one who's given us another day. Help us not to just take the day for granted and do nothing in relationship to our increasing our knowledge of Jesus Christ and growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior. And now in these closing moments of the service, there may be those hearing this message today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They could do that right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That sounds so simple, and yet it is so profound and so great. Whosoever means anyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's no other way but the way of Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth, the only truth. He's the way of life. It's by faith alone in Christ alone that we're saved. We're thankful that we've already done that. And based upon the authority of the Word of God, we accept the fact that heaven is our eternal home. And we pray that there will be many right now hearing this voice will see their need of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And may they do it even now. Again, we want to remind them that Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A simple prayer. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.